No matter your age, you can bring glory to God. Here's octogenarian Susan Hunt.
Let your imagination soar and ask the compelling question, Lord, how do I glorify you in this season of life, whatever it is?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Adorned. For November 8th, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh.
Okay, Dana, did you just use the word octogenarian?
Octogenarian. It is a word that I just used. I'm not even sure if I could spell that one.
But what does it mean?
I think it means she's in her 80s, right?
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm a smart like that.
Well, thanks for clearing that up for us. Now, if you're a child of God, you want your life to be pleasing to Him. You want to live for His glory. And of course, we know we're not going to do that perfectly. But deep down, your heart's desire is to see Jesus magnified through you at whatever age. And all of us, young, old, or somewhere in between, we want to be used by Him to show the beauty of the gospel to those around us.
Yeah, and that is so true of Susan Hunt. Of course, we heard from her last week here on Revive Our Hearts, and she spoke this fall at Revive 21 on the subject of being grounded in every season of life. I'm going to tell you that if you missed that message, you've got to hear it. Look for it on the Revive Our Hearts app or at reviveourhearts.com.
Yes, Susan's message and the part we're about to hear today was definitely a highlight, a huge highlight of Revive 21. In fact, just a little bit ago, I was talking on the phone with a woman who was at Revive, but she had to leave early and she missed Susan Hunt. And I said to her, you've got to listen to this. It was so moving. And for me, it helped give me a sense of what I want to be true of my life as I get older. I've sometimes referred to Susan as the grandmother of the True Woman movement. Not only did she write a book back in the 90s called The True Woman, but Susan has also prayed fervently for many years that the Lord would move in the hearts of women and awaken them to embrace their calling as women. And by the grace of God, I think Revive Our Hearts is a part of His answer to Susan's prayers.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Susan is 81 years old, and after she spoke at the Revive conference, I had the great honor and privilege of interviewing her right there on the platform, and it was just such a precious conversation.
It really was. And you got to picture this. Susan is a bit weak and frail, and so she didn't stand up to speak as most of the other speakers did. She was sitting on a chair on the platform, and she sat to speak. And then after her message, you sidled up next to her, Dana, and sat on a chair next to her. And it was like we had these 2,500 women gathered in a living room setting, sitting at Susan's feet and listening to hard-earned, word-centered, beautifully delivered and joyful wisdom from this woman who has walked a long time with the Lord. So you'll be encouraged to hear from Susan again, this time in conversation with Dana at the Revive 21 conference. Let's listen together.
So this biblical womanhood is fruitful. You've prayed for it for decades. There are probably some women here who this is really new to them. They're like, there's a specific way God wants women to live. What scripture would you advise that woman? This is new to her. This is her first conference, her first taste. Where should she start studying God's word?
To understand biblical womanhood,
yes,
specifically, Genesis 1 to 3. God made us in His image, just what Mary talked about so beautifully this morning. He made us male and female. He created the woman to be a helper. And when we examine that word, the beauty of it, that God is our helper, and the ways that God is our helper is the way that God has wired us and called us to be that kind of a helper in His world. But then that after the man and the woman sinned, and God came and gave them the promise, the first proclamation of the gospel, the promise of a Savior. Then Adam looked at his wife, and he named her Eve, because she would be the mother of all the living. And Eve sounds like the Hebrew word life-giver. When I saw that, the lights came on for me. Because of sin, we are all wired to be life takers. But because of the gospel, because of redemption in Christ, because the life of Christ is in us, we have the potential to be a life giver in every relationship and every situation, because Jesus is in us. And I think if you can get that concept of the potential that we have because of the transforming power of the gospel to be life givers, that is transformative. These girls call themselves life giver wannabes. And that's what we are.
I love that. You know, I had one of those light bulb moments out of that same passage of Scripture, that same section of Scripture, because I always thought, being a helper to my husband, that sounds so subservient. I didn't know if I liked that. Of course, growing up in a feminist world, that sounded really like a bad deal. But then I understood that that word was the word, is it Ezer or Ezer? I never know
I've heard it both ways.
We'll just decide between us.
Will.
It's Ezer. Let's just say that, and it's probably wrong. And that same word is used for God as my helper. He's inviting me to be that strong, that available, that magnificently giving. You're right. That's the right scripture to start in. I agree.
Good.
I have noticed you have not retired from serving the Lord at the age of 81. You haven't quit. You're still here. You're ministering to us. You're still serving these women. Is she a good mentor?
Yeah.
I kind of thought maybe so. But I've noticed that there are some women your age or even 20 years younger, and I'm not quite there yet. I'm almost there. That are retiring from using their spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Something unsettling about that for me. So since I'm not there yet, I can't speak to it, but what would you say to that woman who's sitting out there and she's feeling, I mean, literally, I have bones that don't work like they used to, so slowing down is a very real reality, right?
Right.
But I'm not sure quitting is. What would you say to that woman who's being lured into a more complacent experience in the body of Christ as she ages?
I think the question to ask ourselves, whatever age you are, whatever situation you're in, is, Lord, how do I glorify and enjoy you today? Amen. It's really pretty simple. It's not rocket science. And so when you get to this point that I cannot physically do things I used to do, it's just still asking the same question, but knowing that the answer is going to be tweaked somewhat. Lord, how do I glorify you today and enjoy you today? And there have been some times over the last couple of years when, for various reasons, I was just confined to bed. Lord, how do I glorify you in this place?
Yeah.
And we glorify him as we enjoy him. And as we enjoy him, we glorify him. And the fruit of righteousness is not limited to what we're doing. It's him growing in us. So let your imagination soar and ask the compelling question, Lord, how do I glorify you in this season of life, whatever it is?
Yeah. Reminds me of Amy Carmichael, who was just that great missionary in India that rescued. She was doing human trafficking rescue before it was even a word, and rescuing girls from temple prostitution, and so strong, so mighty, but then she was infirm in her later years of life.
Right.
And instead of being in despair, she turned that into a prayer place.
Yes.
In her bed, she was interceding for those same children, and many of her greatest works of writing came from those years.
Yeah.
So, is there anything you'd do differently as you look back on your life?
You look back on your mistakes. You look back on things. But you know the answer is no, because God used it all. My sin, the sin of others against me, the joys, the sorrows, the suffering. He's used everything to draw me closer and closer to himself and to show me more of himself.
I feel like somebody needed to hear that.
And let me add one thing to it. One of the girls down here told me to be sure and tell them this, and I almost forgot, Laura. But she was emailed me the other day and told me that when I told them after Jean died that I thought grief was easier because I had no regrets and no guilt. She said, people need to hear that. And the reason I can say that is because we were very intentional. Jean and I talked about one of us the Lord will take before the other one. Let's be sure that we're not missing anything, that we're living every day treasuring Him and each other, that if we need to say, I'm sorry, we'll say, I'm sorry, that we'll forgive each other, we'll repent to each other. And we did, and I really don't have regrets, and it makes grief much easier. So carry that through your life. Short accounts. Repent and forgive. And even if the other person doesn't repent, forgive. Live a life of repentance and forgiveness.
I love that. Beautiful. Well, I hope we're not remembering you soon, but when we do, how would you like to be remembered?
Somebody who loved Jesus and loved His people, loved His church, and loved my girls, and lived life with them. I mean, this is wonderful and it's amazing, but my life is with them.
It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder for us mamas and grandmas who get busy, right? Thank you. One final question. Let's talk about the young ones in the room. I'd like you to speak to them. I'd like you to talk to them about how they stand strong for truth in a world that is telling lies, and they may even wonder, are they all lies? It's very confusing. It's a confusing time to live in. What would you say to those young women in this room?
Seek Jesus and search out godly women whose lives are real. I hope your mother is a spiritual mother to you. And if so, mothers, I encourage you to encourage your daughters to seek out other women in addition to you. Mm-hmm. Judy shared Sarah with us from always. We were just one another's.
Yeah.
And seek out godly women and just get to know them. Talk to older women. Ask them questions. Ask them what they wish they had known when they were your age. Listen to their wisdom. Be involved in your church, in your church family, and stay close to them. They are a source of strength for you that you cannot even imagine. My good friend's son died of COVID 2 or 3 weeks ago, and her grandchildren, his children, who I think it's 13 and 9, she was talking with them just before their dad died about what are you thinking about the greatness of God? And the son said, He is so great because He has provided me a family and a church who will stick by us no matter what. They will not leave us. You young girls, don't drift away from your church. Stay close. Stay close. Listen to God's word and love God's people and let them pray over you and love you.
Amen. Don't drift away.
Yes.
Let us love you.
Yes.
Well, her book is Aging with Grace, Flourishing in an Anti-Aging Culture. I read it a few months ago. I don't think it's just for those who are aging. It's for those of us who, at your co-author, Sharon Betters, started loving the idea of growing old in her 20s. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but Nancy, when she was like young, she just wanted to be a godly older woman. So no matter what age you are, this is a wonderful book. Well, I asked you that question about if you have a favorite moment about Revive Our Hearts, because we have some, and they involve you. So we created a little video montage of some of our favorite Susan Hunt memories. So let's watch the screen. Here we go.
Whatever your age, grow up and step up. Share the gospel and your life with another woman and be a part of extending God's kingdom.
I began to think, Lord, how do I live under the authority of your word in old age? And how do I glorify you in old age? I can do so little. But as I dug down into scripture, it's not just about what we do. It's about who we're becoming.
When Titus 2 discipleship begins, it is unstoppable. It will not be confined to assigned groups. It becomes a way of life. It changes the culture of a church. It makes church feel more like family. So how does it feel to be an old lady? It feels like a tired, very dependent, very happy little girl being carried in the arms of her father. And she's calling to her friends, look how good and strong my daddy is. And she knows that when she falls asleep in his arms, she'll wake up at home.
Wow. I've listened to that audio several times, and I never get tired of hearing it. We just heard the audio from a short video montage that was played last month at the Revive Conference. It features some sweet nuggets of wisdom from the heart of Susan Hunt. You can find a link to that video in the transcript of today's program at reviveourhearts.com. And you'll also find a link to the book that Dana mentioned in her conversation with Susan called Aging with Grace by Susan Hunt and Sharon Betters. And let me say, you don't have to be an old lady to read and benefit from this book, no matter what season we may be in right now. Dana, Susan is such a special woman of God. I look at her and I say, I want to be like that when I grow up, because Susan reminds us of Jesus and we want to be like him.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many women have said the same thing since Revive 21. I want to be like that when I grow up, because she reminds me of Jesus. In fact, she is so special, Nancy, that after my interview with her, you and a group of friends joined us on stage because we wanted to honor Susan in a tangible way. Let's listen to that precious moment now.
Susan, thank you for pouring into us. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 13, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, in a woman, friend, mentor, encourager like Susan Hunt has been to so many of us, and as we aspire to become, what we're doing is not having people say, oh, isn't she an amazing woman? We want people to say, isn't he an amazing Savior? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the scripture tells us that we are to honor those who have poured the word into us. And we'd like to take a few moments to do that, Susan. We've invited some of your friends and our friends to come join us in our living room here. So your daughters are coming, and all of us would like to be sitting in this living room. Every woman in this room would like to be sitting with you, but we've invited several to represent us as the Revive Our Hearts ministry and team. And we want to take a few minutes here to thank you, to thank the Lord for the investment of your life in us. And we'll let everybody get situated and let Susan get the surprise out of her eyes. This is a tree
of life, the flourishing, like the tree, the scripture talks about in Psalm 92. And on the base, here's what's written: to our dear friend, Susan Hunt, and we all feel like you're our friend. Thank you for exemplifying the beauty of true womanhood and for always pointing us to Christ and His grace. The righteous flourish, they still bear fruit. Psalm 92. Revive our hearts, October 9, 2021, Indianapolis. So this is a little thank you from our hearts. And then there's a matching box with that same tree on the top, and in there are lots of notes and letters from different ones of us who want to say thank you. I want to take the privilege, just in case she doesn't get to mine, it's in there somewhere, but I want to read just a portion of what I wrote in that note and expressing what many others have written. Thank you for being faithful over the long haul and for inspiring your younger sisters in the faith to do the same. Thank you for leaning hard on Jesus when life has been hard, for finding His strength in your weakness, and for seeking always to magnify Him above all. Thank you for loving so well and for leading us to the heart and feet of Jesus. As you get closer to that full day in His presence, when faith will become sight and prayer will become praise, I pray you will experience the sweetness and the richness of this promise. And then I chose this not knowing that you were going to use it. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. With heartfelt admiration, love, and gratitude for you, my dear sister.
I so love reliving that moment. Oh, Susan is one of the sweetest, most humble women I've ever met.
Yeah, I so agree, Dana. She's a great example of someone who, though she can't physically stand firm anymore, she remains spiritually solid. She's a woman who's grounded.
She certainly is.
Now, this week, we're playing back some highlights from our recent conference, Revive 21. The theme this year was grounded, standing firm in a shaking world, and how desperately we need that message in today's world and in every season of life.
So true. And we're going to need it next year, which is why I'm very excited that the concept of being rooted and grounded in Christ and in the gospel and in the Word of God, that is the theme of the brand new wall calendar from Revive Our Hearts. In fact, I'm looking at it right now, and it is magnificently beautiful. The colors are so soft and warm and inviting. The art is beautiful, but most importantly, the scriptures and the quotes that you'll find and be able to remind yourself of how to be rooted and how to be grounded in Christ are going to be there for you each and every day of the month next year. Many of our listeners look forward to the new Revive Our Hearts calendar every year. I know that I do. And this next year in 2022 is going to help us be grounded and stand firm when the world around us is crumbling.
No matter what. Amen. And this month, we'll send you your own Revive Our Hearts monthly wall calendar as our way of saying thank you for your donation of any size to support the ministry outreaches of Revive Our Hearts. Your donation is especially important at this time of year. And to make a gift or to see photos of the calendar, just visit reviveourhearts.com. Or you can always call us with your donation at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Thank you so much for your support at this important time. And be sure to ask for the calendar when you reach out to us.
Well, do you ever wonder if you actually matter? Tomorrow, we'll hear from Revive 21 speaker Kim Cash Tate as she shares from her own life. And we're going to find out how she learned that her life really does matter. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Inspiring you to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, calling you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.